Well, it is so nice to be back here. I always enjoy, Jennifer and I do, coming. Stacy, yeah, I've heard about,
school's already starting. It's like, you know, cutting vacation short and you're at work already?
Crazy. But it's very nice to be here. Thank you for the anthem. I'm not a dancer, but that made me wish I was. And I'm not really a preacher, but this text really makes me wish that I was as well. So we will try. This is one of my favorite sections of this Bible, and I don't think I've ever preached on it before. I don't know why, but I'm really happy to be able to do it this morning. And so I'll be reading from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals, the foreign gods, and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms. They did not know it was I who healed them. I led them with the cords of human kindness, with the bonds of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. And I bent down to them and fed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So you may have heard the story about the little girl sitting at the kitchen table. She has a box of crayons out and a piece of paper in front of her, and she's drawing, and her mother comes by and looks over her shoulder and says, "Honey, what are you doing?" And she says, "I'm coloring." She says, "Well, what are you coloring?" She says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the mother pats her on the head and says, "Well, that's sweet, honey, but no one knows what God looks like." And the little girl, without even looking up, says, "They will when I finish." Well, the mother's right, isn't she? We don't know what God looks like. Imagine whatever word you might to describe God, and God is much bigger, much greater, much more perfect than any word you or I could ever come up with. I loved the holy, 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 the offertory. That word holy doesn't mean morally perfect. That's not what the word holy means at all. The word holy means separate, unique, unlike anything else. So when we sing holy, 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 what we're singing is, God, you are beyond us completely. We do not understand you. Everything that we could imagine of greatness, you are magnificently and infinitely more. So the mother was right. We don't know what God looks like. God is so much bigger and greater than we could ever imagine. And yet, her daughter is even more right. Just because we don't know everything about God doesn't mean we don't know anything about God. And just because we can't describe God fully doesn't mean we can't describe God truthfully. In fact, what kind of meaningful faith could we really have if God was so far beyond us, we had no idea of how to describe this one who we have come to worship, this one who calls us to love, this one who calls us to trust, this one who calls us to serve. If God is unknown and unknowable, how can we embrace that kind of God? We can't. And so we have to draw our pictures. And they're shadowed. And they're fuzzy because we admit that we don't know fully, but we know enough. We cannot say exactly what God is, but we can say what God is like. And the Bible does that over and over and over again throughout its pages. God is like a judge who determines what is right and wrong and then executes judgment. The righteous are rewarded, the evil are punished.
The Bible says God's like that.
The Bible says that God is like a king who rules over all the world and is in control and in charge and sends his servants to do this and to do that. And everyone obeys. God's like a king. The Bible also says that God is like a warrior who crushes the enemy and protects God's own. And you will, of course, remember that the Lord is my shepherd. God is like a shepherd. And Jesus would also say that now there was a farmer who sowed good seed in his field. So God is like a farmer. God says, or Jesus tells us, there was a wealthy landowner who went out to hire workers in his field in the morning. God is like a landowner who's wealthy. But of all the images that are in the scripture for who God is and what God is like, the most common and I think the most compelling is that God is a loving parent. Now, usually, it's the father. The psalmist says the Lord pities those who fear him, like a father pities his children. God's like a father. But then Isaiah says the Lord is like a nursing mother who holds her child close to her. Jesus spoke about God in parables, saying that God is like this longing father of a runaway son who goes off into his far country and waits and waits and waits for him to come home. And then he will say that God is like a mother hen who gathers her brood under her wings to protect them when the storms come. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the image that he gives them that will shape their community and their prayer from the first day he said it to them until this very moment, just a few minutes ago. What are the first two words? Our Father. Whenever Jesus wanted us to think about God, what he invites us to think about is our Father. And the word there is Abba, and it means daddy. I don't know that we say that much anymore. But daddy. And Jesus uniquely is the one who offers us and invites us to say and imagine God that way. Daddy. Not infinite creator, not almighty, not eternal. Not that than which no other perfection can be described. Not theological language. Daddy. Hosea, of all the images of God as parent, presents, I think, the most tender and gentle and true to my experience as a parent. Though actually, the imagery here is more of a mother than a father. But here is God as loving parent. Listen to what he says again. When Israel was a child, I loved him. I called him out of the suffering and slavery and oppression of Egypt. It was I who taught Ephraim, Israel. It was I who taught them to walk. It was I who held them in my arms. It was I who healed them, even though they didn't know it. I healed them. I am like one who holds them to their cheek. I am the one who bent down to feed them. You want to know what God's like? That, the prophet says, is what God is like. This loving parent who teaches to walk and who holds in the arms and who feeds and who heals. Since Jennifer and I were here the last time, something really, really important happened to us And if you're Facebook friends with us, you know what that is. We became grandparents. Our daughter, Rebecca, and her husband, Steve, who's now the pastor of the Oaks Baptist Church down in near Vidalia, Lyons, Georgia, adopted two little boys from New York, upstate New York. Their names are Luke and Silas. And when Rebecca and Steve first held Luke and Silas in their arms, and those little blue-eyed boys looked up at them, there is no word for love that could begin to describe what happened in that bond between them. And from that moment, Rebecca and Steve knew that their lives were forever bound with these little boys. And whatever good happened to them brought joy to Rebecca and Steve, and whatever hurtful would happen to them would bring hurt and pain to their lives. They knew that these little boys were now the heartbeat of their own soul, and there isn't anything they would do for them. And they loved them before Luke and Silas can do anything, except a few things, and none of them are good. It has nothing to do with what Luke and Silas could bring to the table. It was not about, oh, I love you because you look like the Gerber baby. Or I love you because when I sing to you, you giggle. It had nothing to do with any of that. The love of a parent for a child doesn't come from the child. It comes from the parent. And Rebecca and Steve loved their child. I'm going to try something. I don't know if this is going to work. But this last week, something really, really special happened. They turned one on July the 3rd. We were all at the beach together, and we tried to get them to walk. And we couldn't make it happen. They weren't ready. They were almost there, but not there. Then Rebecca sent me, and Jennifer, this text to this week of Luke walking. And I want you to listen to it. I hope it'll play through here. We'll see if it does or it doesn't. I don't know. But if it does, what you will hear is the voice of God. Okay?
Come here. Come here, Luke. There you go. Good job. Come here, buddy. Luke.
I'll hold it this way so you can see it.
Luke. Come here. Come here. There you go. There you go. There you go. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Come on. You got it. Come here.
Well, it goes on. It goes on. and on, really, actually. If you want to know what God's voice sounds like, you just heard it. All of us have to learn to walk. Not just putting one foot in front of the other, but navigating life. And God is the one who, like this mother, coaxes and encourages and walks beside us as we stumble our way into getting our legs underneath us and learning how to walk. Oh, now it's much quicker for me just to walk on and say, well, I hope you guys can catch up with us. And I suppose God could do the same with us. But no parent would ever do that. You hold out your hands like this with little fingers and you bend down and you let them toddle along and they take their little baby steps with their chubby legs and then they fall down on their diaper and, you know, have to get back up again and you keep doing that. And Hosea says, that's what God is like. That's what God is like. This mother who pours over her child so that he can learn how to walk, so that she can learn how to walk. Patient and kind and loving. And did you hear the pride in that voice? Can you imagine how proud God is of you? Now, we live in a world where that's not a thing that we think about. And if we do, then we feel like we're probably being arrogant. Not at all. You are the beloved child of God. And instead of hearing Luke's name in that little video just a moment ago, you need to hear your own. And you need to hear it from the Holy One of Israel saying your name. Come on, walk. I know you can do it.
That's who God is. That's who God is.
Well, there's much more. He says, I healed you. Oh, Luke and Silas are going to have skinned knees and sprained ankles and ear infections. And I can guarantee you that Rebecca and Steve will make sure that every knee has a Band-Aid on it, every sprained ankle is seen by a doctor, and every ear infection, if it causes a sleepless night, a mother or a father will be in that room holding a hand till the darkness fades and the morning comes. I promise you that. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe in body, maybe in soul. Whether you felt the hand of God on you or not, that hand was there to bring hope and healing. That's who God is. God cares about you. And when you skin your knee and stub your toe in life, God is the one who brings healing. Maybe you failed. Maybe you have really failed or been hurt. I am the one who heals. Well, cuddly and cuteness don't last forever, do they? Many of you are parents, know that, right? Along come the terrible twos. This time next year, they will have just turned two. If you invite me back in the summer, I will tell you, oh my gosh. The only word they can say is no. And if you say right, they'll say left. If you want them to go this way, they'll go that way, up, down. It's just what happens. As children grow, they begin to experiment with their own ways. They begin to see other paths than the ones that you've laid out for them. And sometimes they walk down those paths, sometimes to their own harm. And then they become teenagers. And then they have lock-ins, you know. I think the lock-ins are just so that the parents get a night's sleep. Just lock them in and, you know, give them one night's sleep and it's better. No, but I mean, that's what happens. Kids grow up and other people come into their lives and the parents are no longer the center of their world. And mom and dad watch them go off and they give them the car keys and they lay awake at night and they pray. And sometimes they will break your rules. And sometimes they will break your heart. And sometimes, like the prodigal, they may go off into a far country. What are you going to do? The judge would be angry. He'd punish him. He'd find him, he'd sentence him, and he'd punish him. And the king would find him and he would just banish them. You're out of here. You're out. You can't be in my country anymore. Mothers, what do you do? When your child is struggling, what do? Abandon them, cut them off, lock them out, get what's coming to you? No. In fact, the farther your child walks away from you, the closer your heart is towards them. True? I need a witness.
Yes.
All right, thank you. We don't do witness here, do we? Okay. Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's true though, right? The farther your child walks away and the faster they go, the more you long for them. Well, that's the story of God right here in these verses. Because Israel walks away from God. He says, the more I called, the more you went away. I was the one who taught you how to walk. I held you in my arms. I pressed you to my cheek. I fed you. And you have walked away. In the last part of this song, or the part of this chapter, God is wrestling. What will I do? What will I do? Will I act on my wrath, act on my anger, act on my righteous indignation? You have gone away from me. You've broken my rules. Now you're going to get what's coming to you? No. What the parent in this story says is, my heart is turned over inside of me. I cannot act on my anger. I act only on my compassion. You are the child I love. I don't think there is a more important image of God in all the world than this image. No human pen or human tongue could ever describe God more fully nor more beautifully than this passage. A loving and caring parent who does not love the child because the child is good or the child is obedient or compliant or any of those things that we want, or the child gets A's, Stacy, in school. We don't love our children for any of that, and neither does God. You are not loved because you showed up on Sunday morning at Vineville Baptist Church, or because you're a deacon or you teach Sunday school, or because you haven't broken any rules, you haven't stepped on any cracks, broken your mother's back. That's not why God loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, I heard played so beautifully this morning. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus, the human face of God, just loves us. If you want to know what God is like, look at the very best parent you know. And then multiply that by whatever. It's not important simply for us to know what God is like. But in knowing what God is like, seeing what God is like, that helps us to see ourselves and everybody else in a new way. Knowing that you are the beloved child of God, if God is this loving parent, then you are the beloved child of God. What does that mean for you? How do you see yourself? If this is who God is, who are you? You are the one who God loves. You are the one who God has fed and healed and taught to walk and press to God's cheek, whether you know it or not. I think what it means to be converted, what it means to be converted, is to believe that and live into it. I think that's what conversion is all about. To change the way we see ourselves and to see ourselves as a beloved, longed for, and wanted child of God. Developmental psychologists tell us that a child knows whether they are loved and wanted by the age of 6 months old. They can pick up whether they are held close, whether they are loved, whether they are important, whether they are wanted by the first 6 months of life. Do you know how they do it? How children know that? Psychologists tell us it's the way the mother, usually, but also the father, the way their parents look at them. By 6 months of age, the way a child's parent has looked at them gives that child all the information they need to know as to whether they're welcomed, loved, and wanted. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I think Luke and Silas already know. The reason we come to worship is not to check a box. The reason we come to worship is to look into the face of the one who loves us, our parent, and to fill our minds and our hearts with that sense that we are loved no matter who we are, no matter what we are, no matter what we've done or haven't done. We are God's beloved child. And that changes the way I see myself, because sometimes I fail. And if it's all about my performance, then those days that I fail, I feel pretty badly. But if I can continue to remember that it's God's love that determines who I am, that shapes me, that changes everything. You are God's beloved child more than Luke and Silas are to Rebecca and Steve. You, say your name, you are God's beloved child. That's who God is. It shapes who we are, how we see ourselves, but it also shapes how we see each other. We're brothers and sisters, right? If God is our parent, then we're brothers and sisters. And what we owe to each other is to show that same kind of love and forgiveness and patience and mercy that's been shown to us to show to each other. That same kind of welcome and value that we see from God for us, we need to show to each other. And not just those of us who are in this room. That's easy. You're the Gerber babies. I mean, who wouldn't love you, right? What about the people up and down Pinona or Vineville who have no use for what we're doing here? Does God love them? Yes. Are they God's children? Yes. What about the people who are far away in a distant country, who worship differently than we do, who look differently than we do, who speak differently than we do? Are they God's children? Yes. Does God love them? Yes. I'm a father. If you want to make me mad, mistreat one of my kids. Right? Yes. You want to make me happy? Treat my kids good. Wonder how different God is from then. Probably not very much. You want to make God happy? Treat God's children well. You want to make God mad? Treat God's children poorly. Little honey, you don't know what God looks like. No one's seen God's face. Oh, yes, we have. Yes, we have. We had just finished our summer travels with our Mercer on Mission program. And I'd run to the store because our cupboards were bare. We were gone about a month. And I went to a grocery store here in town and was going to pick up a few things so we could have lunch. And I was in a hurry. And I was going to pull into the parking slot there. And a car had pulled in just before me. And I was seeing that the door, the passenger side door, was starting to open. And so I was going to pull in that slot right where the passenger door would have opened up into. So I thought, well, I better wait. And so I did. But I was in a hurry, as I said. And the door opened slowly, very slowly. And I was in a hurry because I was hungry. I haven't eaten. And the door pushed a little bit more, and finally it came open just a little bit. And then very awkwardly and slowly came out a foot, and then a leg, and then I waited, and then the other foot, and the other leg came out. I was like... And a 40-year-old man stood up, and it was obvious that this man had faced many challenges in life, mental and physical. And I waited for him to stand fully up and to shut his door, just watching. Out of the driver's side door came a woman about 65, and she walked around behind her car. She came up and she took his hand and she smiled. And she walked past the back end of the car and looked at me waiting, and she smiled, thinking that I was being nice when in fact I was really being rude. I wanted to come in and she smiled at me. And I watched them walk hand in hand into the store. And I put my head down on the steering wheel, and I said to myself, I have just seen the face of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.